Hello, and welcome to the commentary for lesson 322. We essentially talked about or read about the transition of power from King Asa to his son Jehoshaphat. And remember, Asa is the king of the southern part of Israel. And he started out a good king, but we read a lot about how he put his faith in man and not in God. So that became his folly. He also ended up allowing Asherah poles and idol worship, and we know how God detests that. So, before we go into Jehoshaphat, I want to read a little bit about King Asa and kind of summarize, because he was the king for quite a while, 41 years, and he had great success at the beginning. He wanted very much to, he recognized that their victories came from God. And he knew when he went into combat with the Ethiopians that he needed God, and God gave them victory. But things started to crumble. And why did that happen? Let me read this. This is from my study Bible, okay? It kind of gives a really good summary. Again, if you've just started listening, I read from my study Bible is the Chronological Life Application Study Bible, New Living Translation. I love this book. It's full of little special tidbits and notations about the scripture. It also gives really good, easy to read timelines and maps that kind of are embedded in the reading. So it just makes it so much easier. You don't even need me, really, if you are sitting at home and you have lots of time to sit and read and study. The reason that I do this is because I know that very few people have that kind of time, and I thought that I could fit a lesson into a commute. So anyways, on to Asa. I want to read this from this study Bible. It says, God does not condone the idea that the end justifies the means. He is just and perfect in all his ways. People, on the other hand, are far from perfect. That a bond can exist between a loving and merciful creator and his rebellious creation is as great a miracle as creation itself. As a king, Asa came very close to being good. He traveled a long way with God before getting off track. His sin was not so much deliberate disobedience as choosing the easy way rather than the right way. When the odds seemed impossible in the battle with the Ethiopians, Asa recognized his need to depend on God. Following that victory, God's promise of peace based on obedience spurred the king and people to many years of right living. But Asa was to face a tougher test. Years of animosity between Asa and Israel's king Baasha took an ugly turn. Baasha, king of the rival northern kingdom, was building a fort that threatened both the peace and the economy of Judah. Asa thought he saw a way out. He bribed King Ben-Hadad of Aram to break his alliance with King Baasha. The plan worked brilliantly, but it wasn't God's way. When God's prophet Hanani confronted Asa, he flew into a rage, jailed Hanani, and took out his anger on his people. Asa rejected correction and refused to admit his error to God. His greatest failure was missing what God could have done with his life if he had been willing to be humble. His pride ruined the health of his reign. He stubbornly held on to his failure until his death. Does this attitude sound familiar? Can you identify failures in your life that you have continued to rationalize rather than admit to God and accept his forgiveness? The end does not justify the means. Such a belief leads to sin and failure. The stubborn refusal to admit a failure due to sin can become a big problem because it makes you spend time rationalizing rather than learning from your mistakes and moving on. So we can learn quite a lesson from Asa, his reign as king, and just his weaknesses as a person. This gives a list of his strengths and accomplishments. It said he obeyed God during the first 10 years of his reign. He carried out a partially successful effort to abolish idolatry. So he was trying to do the right thing. Remember, he even deposed his grandmother, Maacah, because she was an idolater. and he defeated Ethiopia's mighty army. His weaknesses and mistakes were he responded with rage when confronted about his sin. He made alliances with foreign nations and evil people. That was putting his faith in man instead of God. And he should have known better because God gave him victory. He experienced that firsthand. Lessons from his life for us would be that God not only reinforces good, but he confronts evil. And efforts to follow God's plans and rules yield positive results. If we are on the right track and we are following God's lead, it will always have positive results. It may not seem like it on the way there, but in the end, with God's full understanding, way beyond our comprehension, it will always yield positive results. How well a plan works is no measure of its rightness or approval by God. Just because it works doesn't mean it was the right thing to do. So, good lessons from King Asa. And apparently, Jehoshaphat was one of those sons who learned what not to do from his father. So that's good. And he gets things on the right track again. First of all, I want to go back to 2 Chronicles. I forgot to talk about this. So 2 Chronicles, I read that in addition to the 1 Kings version of how it kind of summarized Asa's reign. And I did that because it added a lot more information, specifically in the 39th year of his reign. And in the 1 Kings version, it didn't give that year. I don't know if that in itself was of importance, but it was worth noting, so they noted it. Then it says, it talks about his foot disease that he developed. In 1 Kings, they kind of glazed over that. Yes, he had in his old age, his foot became diseased. But they point out in 2 Chronicles, yet even with the severity of his disease, he did not seek the Lord's help, but turned only to his physicians. So we see a pattern of him trusting man before God. So he died in the 41st year of his reign. And because it says that he was laid on a bed perfumed with sweet spices and fragrant ointments, and the people built a huge funeral fire in his honor, you know that because they did that, that he was a beloved king and that they really mourned for him. Okay, then we go to Jehoshaphat. Now, Jehoshaphat, he goes against the grain, right? The Israelites have really slipped into a pattern of sinful nature and worshiping idols and Asherah poles and all of those things. And he comes in and he goes back to their roots. He starts over. He is old school. I love it. Verse 3 says, the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he followed the example of his father's early years and did not worship the images of Baal. He sought his father's God and obeyed his commands instead of following the evil practices of the kingdom of Israel. See, he was going against the grain. The kingdom of Israel was the territory of the north, the 10 tribes. They were falling into this trap. So the Lord established Jehoshaphat's control over the kingdom of Judah. He couldn't fix what was going on in the north at this point, but he could right the ship in the southern part of Israel. And he got rid of the Asherah poles, and he did everything right. He even was sending out officials to teach, along with the Levites, to teach in all the towns of Judah. So he's really doing the very best that he can to get back to basics, to get back to their roots, to get back to the foundations of their faith, where they came from. We would do well to do that as a nation here too. Verse 10, then the fear of the Lord fell over all the surrounding kingdoms so that none of them wanted to declare war on Jehoshaphat. So, and then it goes into talking about a sacrifice that they made to God and how big his army was, and it went to the specific number of troops. He had a vast and powerful army, it looks like. So God blessed him, and we see that because he followed the example that his father early on had set. And he wanted to obey God. And we, the fact that, I like verse 10 when it says the fear of the Lord fell over all the surrounding kingdoms. Sometimes God helps in ways we don't even see it. He's working behind the scenes to prepare not just us for the plan that he has for us, but for our enemy to keep them at bay. So I love that. Next lesson, we get to get into Elijah, which is exciting. But that's it for today. I hope you all have a great day. I will talk to you soon.